My biggest nightmare is ending up unintentionally on a blog like Brown Cardigan or something, where it's like one day I'll like buy like some chips and then I'll trip over and then I'll flip the chips into my face.
Oh my God,
and
chip girl.
Yeah, and then I'll get attacked by seagulls and I'll be like, well, thank God no one saw that. But then, of course, it'll be a hologram on my gravestone. It's like,
oh my gosh.
Shh. Hello, I'm Jen Fricker.
And I'm Alexi Toliopoulos.
Welcome to the Big Film Buffet,
a podcast for pop culture fans and people looking for what to watch recommendations.
Today, it's our main course where we recommend you a Netflix film for you to watch this weekend.
Then, next Tuesday, we'll give you a little snack of a pop culture subject we're obsessed with.
Last week, we spoke about the real world retold in a fake world. And this week, we're talking about a fake story set in a real world. It's Bad Trip.
Oof, what a way to put it. I would struggle to describe this movie, but I'm going to endeavor to do my best.
Mm.
This is basically a prank movie, not unlike your Borats or your Bad Grandpas or your Jackass movies, or heck, even the recently released Impractical Jokers, the movie. This is a genre that I love, obviously.
Deep encyclopedic knowledge of this genre, Alexi.
Yeah, it's something that I love, which is a prank movie where they've got like hidden camera pranks played out on the public with famous comedic actors like Eric Andre, Lil Rel Howery, and Tiffany Haddish. And the thing that is unique about this movie is that it is a road trip movie, which has got a real actual narrative that a comedic film would have, where we've got actors playing characters, playing the roles in an actual road movie that is somehow set in reality.
Okay, I'm still confused. I've tried to explain this movie to so many people. You're right, Lexi. There's a main character. There's a love story. Mm-hmm. There's challenges and trials and tribulations. There's musical numbers.
Yes.
But it's all shot around people who don't know that there's a movie being shot.
I'd say that's the supreme joke of this movie that I never, ever got tired of, is that these are real people that are populating this film, and they have to react and watch like the kind of big tropes that we are used to in a movie form.
Yeah, there's dream sequences.
Yep.
There's like musical numbers.
Yep.
There's exposition.
That is my favorite thing in this film, when a real life person gets stuck in a conversation with someone in a movie and they have to like be part of like the expository dialogue of it or help them find their arc in the movie.
Yeah.
Like there's parts of this film where a real life person is sitting on a bench with Eric Andre and has to inspire him to go out and chase his loved one.
Yeah. There's a lot of physical comedy as well, where like in a movie you wouldn't think twice about it, but real life people are watching people fall over bins and stuff and feeling quite bad about it.
I did not really anticipate to love this movie. I don't know why, it just didn't strike me. But as soon as I started watching it, I fell immediately in love with it. I think I laughed my freaking nards off. I laughed so hard. Sorry, I'm without nards now while I'm doing this review. But the LPM rate was out of control.
What's LPM?
Laughs per minute. This was off the freaking LPM scale.
Oh my gosh.
My laughs per minute were through the freaking roof.
Uh-huh.
I lost my mind and I found my soul.
What?
I found this to be terribly funny, and that joke absolutely never wore on me of this is a real movie, like a Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, where you would like pick up on and believe in the heightened reality of a film.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's just everyday people that have to live amongst it.
Yeah. Are you a big fan of these films in general? Like, did you grow up watching Jackass?
Tragically, yes. I did love Jackass. And to this day, I still love Jackass. I think I only got on board with it when Jackass went from TV to cinema. And I was
really?
Like, now I respect this. I respect this art form now. But there's something about prank movies where I can live vicariously through them. Because in
right.
reality, pranks freak me out. I'm scared of pranks. I would never do a prank on someone. I would hate to be pranked my damn self. But in these film formats, I can really get in on them. Me and my mother really bonded over Ali G and Borat. Like, we used to watch the Ali G show, or more accurately, the Ali G show. We used to just
That's
watch
right.
that together.
It was spelled D-A.
D-A.
I forgot that.
The Ali G show we thought was wicked. You know, me and my mama going, booyaka, booyaka,
oh
sha, booyaka.
God. And Borat was a character on that, right? Yes. That's where Borat started.
Exactly. My mom would be like, I love it when he says very nice. I think it's so funny when Borat says my wife, et cetera, et cetera.
Wait, how does Borat say my wife?
He says my wife.
Oh, my God.
That's it. Like, I just love this kind of prank world of films and TV.
You're getting the vicarious kicks of being a bad boy.
While being the most goodest boy watching TV with my mom.
Exactly.
Are you in the same area as me?
Look, I'm going to be 100% honest.
You got to be keep it 100, baby.
Always. I really struggled with this film because it's just not a kind of genre I usually watch. Yeah. I'll be really honest with you. I never really got into Jackass. I love Ali G movie. Yeah, and not Ali G show.
Yes.
Because the Ali G show, it was all characters who go out into the real world and pull pranks on people, right?
Stunt comedy.
Yeah, whereas the Ali G movie was a character-driven comedy.
Mm.
It was all fictional, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So fundamentally, as we learn about each other, Lexi, we're going to keep a scoreboard, and that's one of our divided kind of
Our area of division.
Yeah.
We're two sides of the same coin. One side likes the Ali G, the movie.
Yeah.
One side of the coin likes the Ali G show.
Exactly.
And the rest of the world can be split up into those two categories too.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're listening to this, which side are you on in that
Get
coin?
Get in touch.
Yeah, let us know who you are.
It's like Nathan For You, the TV show. Yeah. Another prank TV show where everyone tells me it's so great.
Yeah.
I love it. And then I watch it. I think secondhand embarrassment.
Mm.
It's too uncomfortable for me to watch. So if you're one of those people, maybe this isn't the film for you.
Mm.
I will say, however, I really love some moments in this film. The musical numbers in public places and watching people's reactions to that was probably my favorite part of this whole film.
Yeah, I think that's something that this film does really well. Like, this is a really grotty, grubby, dirty, very, very silly comedy.
Mm.
So it's like one that I would not go, oh, everyone needs to watch this movie. I think if this thing appeals to you, if you like a really like out there wacky comedy and you've got like a crazy sense of humor, much like myself, this is one that I would like go, yeah, check it out.
Yeah.
But I think it's one to be in the right mindset for. And that dance musical sequence is really something special because I think the joke on these people, it's like it's a kind joke where it's allowing these people in the real life world to experience a little bit of movie magic and like the heightened world of movies. So there's just a scene where Eric Andre just bursts into song and dance inspired by love, like a La La Land in a food court.
Yeah.
And just everyone has to watch on as he like feels the rhythm of dance.
Yeah, the joke's always on Eric Andre.
Yeah.
It's never on the innocent people that he's shooting around. It's always them being like, what the hell is this guy? Why is he standing on this desk or table or whatever and kicking around chips and stuff and singing about love? Yeah, I love that. The way they've shot it, it's like a hidden camera comedy. Mm. Is so great, but yeah, oh my gosh.
It looks more aesthetically pleasing than a regular hidden camera comedy.
Yeah.
Like there are moments when they have these big set pieces, it actually looks like you're watching a real like La La Land musical at points.
Yeah. I think that's like the director of it, Katao Sakurai, in the placement of the cameras and stuff like that. It would be really hard to anticipate what real people are going to do, but he just pulls it all together so well.
There's one scene in particular that really struck me as far as like cinematic magic, doing something new that I haven't seen in a movie before. And this is a scene where they unwittingly take narcotics. I'm talking like a narc myself.
Yeah.
They took narcotics.
Are you wearing a wire, bro?
No, this is not recorded.
No one's listening to this conversation right now?
I'm recording it separately for the FBI. But there's a scene where like they take drugs and they have like a trip sequence. Maybe this is the titular bad trip of the movie.
What?
They take a bad trip, and this film did something really cool. It took the Netflix subtitles when they're talking and then started like phonetically writing them different. We're on this drug trip, and then they started like disappearing into a mist.
Oh my God.
And I just found it like this is like a such a new thing to come to like the like wacky surrealism of like drug trip scenes in movies. And then you've got them like actually playing like, you know, a real drug trip scene in front of actual people and how they have to like play that out. It's kind of spectacular. And like, this is weird to talk about a really silly comedy like this, but it sings to like the absolute innovation of what this movie's doing.
Wow.
This is a step forward.
How does this compare with one of your favorite recent Netflix releases, Uncut Gems?
Oh my God, that is a great question. I would say Uncut Gems. I'm wearing an Uncut Gems t-shirt right now as we speak. Mm-hmm. It cost me over freaking $200 to import it into Australia. So
are you
serious? Know I rock it.
Far
yes,
out.
I love it. I can't help it. Sandman's my hero. And I would put this up there. Like Uncut Gems
really?
Is like my favorite movie of the last decade. Five-star, full perfect feature.
Mm-hmm.
This would be up there with my favorite comedies I've seen in the last few years.
Wow. Okay. I will say Tiffany Haddish in this movie is wonderful.
This is a spectacular turn by Tiffany Haddish.
Mm.
I love it when someone's got like a defined comedic persona like Tiffany Haddish,
mm-hmm.
and then they're able to shift it slightly to give you something new with it. I think she like is able to conjure up genuine fear in the role that she's
yes.
playing as someone who's like this intimidating escaped convict who's chasing down Lil Rel and Eric Andre, who have stolen her car to go cross country to find Eric Andre's long lost high school crush and fall in love with her and win her over. And she's like chasing them down like the fugitive, like this mad pursuing person. Tiffany Haddish, of the three leads, has definitely become like the biggest movie star and the most recognizable. I think to get away with like her being in this movie, they've like visually transformed her.
Mm.
She's got like face tattoos. She's got like a little mustache.
It's like a make under.
Absolutely. Because she's like, you know, gorgeous. And so they're able to just make her look like, you know, menacing. And I think she's incredible in this movie.
Because I was wondering, I was like, how did they get away with this? You know, like,
right?
How do you have these kind of pretty famous people? Like Tiffany Haddish, I would say, is like probably one of the most famous American comics
at
the moment.
Mm.
And then to have her play literally an escaped convict and approach people on the street. At one point, she steals a cop car. Like, how is it possible? And yeah, I think it is really well made.
Mm.
It would terrify me to be asked to make a film like this. It would terrify me to find out I was accidentally in. Yeah.
Is that your big nightmare?
Oh,
just
my God.
Like being captured in like this a vulnerable moment.
My biggest nightmare is ending up unintentionally on a blog like Brown Cardigan or something where it's like one day I'll like buy like some chips and then I'll trip over and then I'll flip the chips into my face
my God,
and
chip
then
girl.
Yeah, and then I'll get attacked by seagulls and I'll be like, well, thank God no one saw that. But then of course it'll be a hologram on my gravestone. It's like,
oh my gosh,
just over and over on a loop. My grandchildren will be like, oh man.
Well, at least you're getting those visits. People go check out Chip Girl
yeah.
in your local cemetery. So what is that that makes you freak out like that? What deep down within you? No, let it out.
I'm so scared, I guess, of being captured in a vulnerable moment.
Mm.
Or maybe it's just like the mask we're all wearing is so fragile.
It just one so, ship could crack it.
Exactly. It'll all fall apart at any moment. What about you? Were you like one of those boys in high school that after watching Jackass, you like hid in the bins and jumped out at people and stuff?
Oh, I think I'm a bit too prissy to do that far, but this is a real thing about me, okay? Yes, I did make up Jackass videos, but I was a Jeff Tremaine. I've always been the filmmaker. I was the one behind the lens,
mm-hmm.
okay? My cousins were around pulling pranks, throwing moussaka at each other or something.
Is that
riding
real?
Riding on BMXs. We're doing our own Greek version of Jackass. It's called Greek Ass. We're doing Greek style pranks on each other and our parents.
What are some Greek style pranks?
Well, mainly they're moussaka based. Okay, dude, we get a fresh baked moussaka, throw it at Yaya, okay? We'd walk around without our freaking slippers on and drive our grandma crazy. She'd be like, put your freaking slippers on, you're going to catch a cold out there. Those are the kind of high-level pranks we were doing. The hijinks we were up to were absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, my God. Oh. Speaking of hijinks, actually, don't ask me how I know this, but Eric Andre has an OnlyFans.
Okay. I have to ask you one question.
Yes.
How do you know this?
Well, no, it's in his Instagram bio.
What kind of content is he posting on his OnlyFans?
Well, I had to go through a lot.
Did you have to sign up for it?
Look, have I signed up to OnlyFans? Have I given the website OnlyFans my credit card information just for this podcast? Yes.
Oh, wow.
So I'm on Eric Andre's OnlyFans at the moment.
What are we looking at? And
honestly,
let me see.
It's pretty tame. He's just got kind of
topless
photos of him in bed. That's about it, really.
Yeah, that's actually gorge. Satin sheets, beautiful robes.
Yep, he's sucking on a lollipop.
Wow.
And then that one's
a bit butt crack. He is showing his butt crack off in that video.
Spread-eagled. And there's another one of him on a toilet. That's about it. is your favorite non-lead character in this film?
Wow, that's a great question, because I have to say the answer is the people of Florida.
Mm.
Everyone is a character in this movie, and all these unsuspecting members of the public, they have such like a genuine kindness reacting to what's going on in this movie.
Mm.
There's like one moment early on where Tiffany Haddish like escapes from jail and a guy spots her and he's just like, you need to run, change your clothes and get out of here.
Oh my God.
And just like this genuine sweetness to all the interactions that they have with these people that mm-hmm. are like unwittingly part of a movie.
Gives you a bit of faith in humanity, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
You're like, oh, these people don't know they're being seen and they're acting with such kindness. That's yeah, kind of nice.
Exactly. And I think that there's something to say with this movie working in that is set in Florida,
mm-hmm.
especially from like outsider perspective. He is from Florida. He's born there. He's likely raised there as well. I think that this captures like something of like what we know as like that Florida man syndrome. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you always hear like stories about people from Florida and they're like, Florida man discovers crocodile in like the bathtub having eaten three of its children. I don't know.
Have you ever found out what your Florida man is?
What is that?
Florida man plus your birthday into Google and it will tell you what your Florida man is.
Oh, okay.
By the headline that comes up first.
Okay. So I put Florida man, 3rd November, mark it in your diary. That's okay, my birthday.
Put it
in,
send us a message.
Okay. Naked Florida man drove with wires on penis.
Whoa.
That is number one. I feel like the algorithm has been affected by me recently signing up to OnlyFans, though.
Well, I got to say, you and I are two peas in a pod. May 19 is my birthday. Florida man tasered after walking naked around neighborhoods.
Oh, my gosh.
So we've both got wires. We've both got nude men. And electricity flows through us.
Oh my gosh. Producer Michael, when's your birthday?
22nd of March, baby.
Top result. Florida man wrecks liquor store. Blames it on caterpillar.
Oh, my God. Michael, that's you.
That
I will
you.
Be using this excuse in my life wow. from going forward.
That's like one of my favorite Simpsons jokes, which is like, nobody would ever expect the butterfly. That really does tell you everything you need to know. Like, movies about New York, it's usually about people who don't really originally mm-hmm. come from that place and they're trying to make their way through a gritty big city. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're chasing a dream and they're going to get past the obstacles that are set up in their way. Florida is a setting for people who are
beyond our realm of understanding.
Exactly, yeah. There's enough room for everyone in Florida. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it makes these hijinks feel believable, like why these people can buy into what is going on.
Mm.
Florida's a land of dreams.
Should we move it?
I think
we're
going to go there.
Should the next episode of the pod be live from Florida?
Golden Girls style, baby. That's what we're going to do. Live from Miami.
Yes.
A lot of my favorite art comes from Florida, I would
like
say.
Like what?
Scarface, the Golden Girls. Those are two examples. And here's a third one, the movie Wild Things.
Whoa!
Matt Dillon, baby. He's what I remember from one of the horniest movies of all time is Matt Dillon.
Far out. Who knew that Florida had such a contribution to the cinema canon?
Yeah, to the arts. We thank you, Florida.
We thank you, Florida. Thank you for birthing Eric Andre.
We needed it. Thank you, Florida. We sincerely thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Big Film Buffet.
And if you enjoyed this podcast, subscribe to The Big Film Buffet on Apple and wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a comment, a review if you will.
Yeah. Or tell us who your Florida man is. I'd love to know.
Oh, yes. Send us in on the socials who your Florida man is.
Mm. And if you're driving around with wires protruding from your penis right now.
Welcome to the club. This episode was hosted by me, Alexi Toliopoulos, and Jen Fricker.
Produced by Michael Sun and Anu Husbold.
Edited by Jeffrey O'Connor.
Executive produced by Tony Broderick and Melanie Marnie.